sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, sitting here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great today. How about you?
Good. I'm doing fantastic.
How are you doing, listeners?
I think they said they're doing great.
Okay. I hope so. Hope you're having your second cup of coffee about now.
I said there's lots of graduations going on this weekend, all sorts of stuff. Marissa and I were at UCO last night because she graduated with a master's in educational administration.
There you go.
So, and then there was all sorts of...
That's why they're putting her in charge of things, right?
She tells me she's in charge, and I just agree with it.
Yeah, that's smart man, smart man. Okay, so today we're talking about, should you hire a single agent or should you hire a real estate team, and what's the difference?
It is a great topic. We're talking about what's the difference between team and team real estate organization and a solo agent. And if you want to call in and join the conversation today, that number is 405-840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. Let's just start where, now, you were a solo agent for many years when you first began, correct?
Well, yes. I worked within a company where somebody answered the phone and took the phone calls and directed them. And frankly, it was not a really good story because I went with the broker that had sold my house, and nice man, but wasn't real good with keeping his money separate from earnest money of clients. Therefore, he'd lost his license. Still owes me for 3 commissions, by the way. My checks bounced.
Are they in the mail? They're still on their way to you?
I don't think they are, Mark. Sadly, I don't think so. And so then I went with another real estate broker that I knew from my social work days. She worked in the same office my husband did. We were both social workers first 5 or 6 years of our career. And then turns out she was greedy, that broker, partnered up with, and I say partnered up with as in slept with, 3 different veterans and double contracted on homes to where she netted $10,000 per transaction.
Wow.
And so federal charges were brought up against her, and of course then it was time for me to move on. So at that point, I thought, man.
So those are your first 2 brokers.
Those were my first 2 brokers.
So in real estate, and this is a little bit inside baseball real estate, is when you become a real estate agent, you have to hang your license under a broker because it's the broker that gets paid, and the broker then pays the real estate agents involved.
And it's not really about the pay. It's about supervision.
But then the broker has to supervise, and the broker's responsible ultimately for earnest money being placed in the right place, the transaction being done in a legal way, and the contract being upheld. Is that correct?
Yes. It's about, yes, supervision of the agents to be sure that, you know, no discrimination, all the things that a real estate agent or broker have to deal with. But it's a supervisory position. And you have to have a broker. And nowadays, you have to have a provisional license for a year before you can even get a real estate license. Then you have to have a real estate license for a certain amount of time before you can become a broker and supervise others. So it turned out I was answering most of the questions the first place I went to hang my license. I was there, I believe it was 14 months, and people were coming to me to ask questions, and I was like going, man, I'm pretty new at this. But I do read the rules. I knew how to do things because I'm a good student, right? So I thought, after those first two brokers, then I hung my license temporarily, and I told the friend temporarily that I would be putting my license there only until I could obtain my broker's license. And then I was going to start my own show, right? And I didn't want a bunch of agents working under me or anything. I knew I was, first of all, I was not going to commingle, it's called, monies that belong to someone else with my monies, because it's against the law. And secondly, I was going to pay myself, right? So those were two big things for becoming a broker.
Yeah. So in how long was it until you started having, because we have an independent brokerage now, that, and how long was it until you started the independent brokerage?
I got my license October 17th of 1977. And before the end of the year in 1978, it was, I'm going to say probably 18 to 20 months, I got my broker's license and started my own thing.
And then when was it that you went from being solo to starting to build a team?
Well, things changed a lot. During the late 70s, all through the 80s, which were tough for real estate, by the way, because we had the oil bust here in Oklahoma. I learned a lot during the 80s because I learned how fast properties can go up in value and how suddenly they can drop in value. Because we had properties that went up 1% a month. Every month. And then all of a sudden, they dropped to half price. So if you were over mortgaged, over leveraged on your real estate, you didn't do too well. I hired a couple of people to be assistants for me. And that was kind of like, I was trying to think when that was. It was when I had all four kids in like junior high, high school, and college. I ended up needing some help. So I could attend their events, their sporting events, their drama stuff, whatever it was they were doing. I needed someone who could like put up signs, answer the phone and take messages, file some papers, because we had papers back then. In our office today, you're not going to find files with paper because we file online, right?
Right.
So I had a couple of just very short-term assistants that would work maybe 10 hours a week to do that kind of thing. And then later on, we end up with a real estate team, and I can tell you about that.
What? Real estate is a big juggling act, and we all need help with it. And what we have on the line, we have Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage.
Money, 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 money. NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, what's our interest rates today? Are they still in the high sixes?
Yeah, in that mid six, so 6.5 to 6.75, as we learned last week, it's a moving target when it comes to conventional loans with the new loan level price adjustments. But, we're right in that 6.75 range.
Okay.
And, you had Dean on last week to talk about the loan level price adjustments. Well, the Federal Housing Finance Agency made an announcement on the debt to income ratio adjustment that they are not going to move forward with that. So they have rescinded that adjustment, which is really, really good news.
Well, it was the stupidest rule. Any other like the amount of money down or anything. And for the listeners that did not get to hear last week, we talked about the folks with the best credit, the most money down, and the least debt to income ratio were going to be basically penalized and charged an extra fee to help other people own homes that have not put themselves in that position. So any on the debt to income ratio, the feds are not moving forward. How about the money down on that?
No, unfortunately, there were no changes to those. That's the new world that we live in today.
We encourage you, if you missed that show, it's just lots of information. You can go back and listen to it on a podcast. You can find it in iHeart Media. You can find it on Spotify, on Amazon, on iTunes. Just look up Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Or actually, if you just put in Becky Ivins, it'll pop up. Hit subscribe. And you can go back and listen to each of these. As always, Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. If you want to reach out to him, the number is 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are talking about team versus solo. And if you want to call in and join the conversation, the number is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. I tell you what, remember old Rush used to have Open Line Friday and be like, so let's make it open line. If you have a real estate topic that you want to talk about, it may not be along the lines of team versus solo. Maybe it's some different topic. Call in 405-840-1000 and bring it up and talk. So as when I decided to join Becky's real estate team, here's what kind of the progress. It was really, like a lot of people in real estate, I backed my way into the real estate team. I had just gone through a very traumatic, event. For those of you who don't know, about 7 years ago, I survived a type A aortic aneurysm, which has extremely high death rate to it. Only about 10% of those who have this kind of event make it to the hospital, and about 10% of those who do actually survive the surgery. And so I was taken to Integrus Baptist Hospital and had surgery that just thankful for the team there and was on my way back in kind of the comeback trail from a couple surgeries I had to follow from that and met with Becky, who said, "Hey, have you ever thought about coming in, helping, talking organization, talk real estate?" And so I came in, started working. First time I started working for you, Becky, it was like 1 hour a day was about all I could work.
I know. You were pretty fragile condition back then, weren't you?
It was a tough thing. And that's one of the big things of working with a team is it allows you room for all the things you can't control in life. The things you can't control, like getting sick on a day, like having a child that gets sick or gets injured and you have to go take care of them. And then you also have to go show a client who has to purchase during this 2-day time period that they're visiting, and you're juggling up three different crises at one time. And it's a huge part of a team really helping and really being a part.
I'm just having to laugh because as you're talking about juggling all these crises ongoing, I can't even juggle my headphones over here. So the question that you had?
Yeah. So my question I have for you is, so when you started moving from the team into the team concept, what was it that you were trying to accomplish in building a team?
Well, the first thing is, when you are a solo agent broker, you always have to be available. during reasonable hours. I consider reasonable hours 9 to 9, but that's 7 days a week. So that's a lot. I always gave myself Sundays to go to church, but then I checked messages on my way home from church before we even had lunch. Usually had an open house on Sunday, almost always had an open house on Sunday. And the team was going this week, they were, I was going, who wants to hold this house open? And I got a comment, it's Mother's Day. And I thought, and? the thing is I don't think the first 25 years of my career, I don't believe I missed a Mother's Day holding a house open. And not that you should do that. I'm just saying I also never failed to sell a house on Mother's Day. Every year, 25 years straight. Then I gave myself Sundays off occasionally. Because that's when the family gathers around Mother, right? And does what she wants to do. And Mom wants to go look at houses.
Well, I mean, more often than not, it is if there is a mother-father family dynamic that's happening, it's usually the mother who is the driving force for making the move.
Well, that's the emotional force that's mm-hmm. behind the transaction usually. But your question was really when and why did I move from being a single agent broker to a team? And it's because I had too much to do. After a few years in the business, I ended up having repeat clients that had been in their home for 4, 5, 6 years and were ready to move again. And I couldn't keep up at the level that I wanted to keep up, right? Because I had a conscience and I had a drive to do the best job. So I wanted to keep up and provide excellent services for folks. In order to do that and have a family life, and I did have a very full family life when my kids were home, and they participated in everything that happened for schools and stuff. So you have to be there for them. We don't have to, but I was, right? So I hired someone to answer the phone and file papers for 4 hours a day, 3 to 4 hours a day. That gave me a chance to take out my buyers during that time and show my buyers property. Then it got to where it's hard to take care of your listings while you're with buyers, because if someone calls back in the day, you called and made an appointment, and I would have to call the seller and say, can you show your house then? And we were on lock boxes that literally had a key to them. So there was no electronic. It was very cumbersome business looking back on it. That's all we had, so it didn't seem as cumbersome at the time. And there were no cell phones. There were pagers, and we carried pagers. And, man, my family got so good at giving messages numerically, because back at first you couldn't have an alpha message. It had to be a numeric message that they would send. And they got really good. Like 911 means pull off the road, find a payphone, and call home, right? because you couldn't say anything else. You didn't have any connection with anyone.
Yeah.
So when you leave your office to go show a house and say you're going from Midwest City to Moore to go show a house, and someone calls the office and says, well, they're not going to be able to make it, they have to work late, you don't find that out until you go to the property and sit there for 20 or 30 minutes waiting on that client, and they're a no-show because you have no phone to call them. So we have changed a lot. When we got our cell phones in the 90s, and I think it was maybe even late 80s, early 90s, as soon as they became available, realtors had them. But, of course, it was like $1.53 a minute, and 6 seconds counted as a minute, so you're real careful to cut it off if you're a thrifty person. I had to be thrifty. So I decided in the year, I believe it was 2000, that I needed to get an agent with me that could show my buyers, not all of them, but some buyers, so that it took a little bit of relief off of me. And then I dealt, it didn't take long before I was doing the listings, and my agent was working with almost all the buyers, because buyers are time consuming, and that's fine. I love showing property to buyers.
Is that when Julie came on board?
Julie came on board in 99.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Julie is still with Becky Ivins' team. We'll be talking more when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins, and it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Teamwork. We're talking about solo agent as opposed to a team. So teamwork is when a group of people work together to successfully complete a task. And that's what our real estate team does. It, at first, it just allowed me a little bit of time not to be totally aware and focused, because I had somebody else to kind of take over a little bit of responsibility for me. It grew into the pieces of the puzzle coming together to where it all made sense and flows easily together. So everyone has their own job on a team, but they're cross-trained to do other jobs as well. And most everybody on our team is licensed, because in the state of Oklahoma, you have to be licensed real estate professional in order to answer a question about real estate or to take care of information in a real estate transaction. You must be licensed. So to answer the phone and an agent says, now, wait a minute, I've been in that home. I remember it being four bedrooms. Does it have three or four bedrooms? Well, you can't answer that even if you know the answer to the question if you are not licensed, because the license protects the public. That is the whole job of the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission, is to protect the public.
So in Oklahoma, if you claim to be a licensed real estate agent, then you have a duty to show reasonable skill and care. Is that the right terminology?
Reasonable skill and care is crucial.
Yeah.
Because you can't just make it up. You know, you've got to have a basis for your actions and what you present to the public.
Yeah, it's funny. It's what I tell clients that we're working with all the time. If, like, not only do I have a moral obligation to just not make this stuff up, I have a legal obligation that I can't do. I can't tell you there's multiple offers when there's not.
Do you know, I'll tell you a story. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I belong to a group of realtors that are really the top of their field. There's almost 200 of them, and they spread across Central and North America. Mostly Americans, but a lot of Canadians, a few Central American real estate professionals belong to this group. And they have to, there's only one per market, right? So I am Central Oklahoma. We've got Aaron Catron in Tulsa area, greater Tulsa area. We've got somebody else in Lawton. There's only three of us in the state of Oklahoma, but they're in almost every state.
Mm-hmm. And so with this group, I mean, you and I went to Nashville recently and met with this group and interacted with it. And so, you know, with this, the licensee, so my question for you on this is, does it vary by state to state? Because you said in Oklahoma, are we tighter controlled in Oklahoma than other states as far as having people be able to communicate?
Each state has their own real estate commission.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we are different than some other states in what we can do and can't do. There's only about 15 states now that are like Oklahoma in saying you cannot induce a purchaser to purchase a house, a piece of real estate. It's against the law to induce someone to buy a piece of real estate.
And what's considered an inducement? Give an example.
Giving them something. Like, okay, the example used in the statute is you cannot give away a pony to entice someone to purchase a half acre of land.
A pony?
Well, that was actually offered. W.P. Bill Atkinson back in the day in Midwest City was a big developer, and he offered a free Shetland pony for if you bought a piece of real estate from him, because he sold like half acre and acre tracts and stuff like that. So, and that was the example given as to what you can't do.
Yeah.
But now in other states, they can a realtor for a closing gift can buy a kitchen table and chairs for the buyer to help them get started on something. And I'm going, that's so foreign to me because we are so regulated against giving anything away. We're so regulated that the real estate commission said we could not give pies away. And I read not only the rules and guidelines, but I read the statute behind it. And for our clients and those that are friends of our team, mm-hmm. we basically say, fans of our team, we invite them to come at Thanksgiving time and we will give them a nice pie. Well, the real estate commission said, well, no, you can't do that. You can't give pies. And I thought, well, yes, I can give a pie. That's not good. Nobody's going to buy a house to get a pie. And it basically, kind of came down to it. They did take action on that and said, well, as long as it's not worth more than about $75, you can give something away. Now, if it has your name on it, if your logo or something, it's considered a promotional item. So we put a big fat sticker with our logo on it on top of the container that holds the pie, and then we're in good condition, right?
So one of the things I like about you, Becky, is that you are a stickler for the rules, but you also see that there's always a little wiggle in there in certain things.
Don't try to bully me into not being nice to my clients. Right?
Exactly. So when did you start to build, as you built out your team and you started to do that, when did you move in from having it, because you worked basically out of your home office for a while. When did you go into having an office like we do now?
Get me some Prevagen or something because I can't remember.
Do you remember where your first office was?
Yes, I officed with Wayne Hall, who was another real estate broker. We had a group of independent real estate brokers, and all of us were just single agents, single brokers working ourselves. And when you bring on somebody else onto your team, most neighborhoods do not let you. It's against their restrictive covenants, their covenants and conditions of their neighborhood that you can't run your business out of your home. So once you hire somebody else, then you have to get an office.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really have to work out of that office, but you have to have an office, and the sign has to be a certain size and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I read the rules again. I didn't just take people's word for it because I wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
So I did, and I was not in that office very much. Most successful realtors are not in their office very much. As a matter of fact, to this day, I am not in my office very much because – you don't make any money sitting in your office. You have to be out actually selling real estate, right?
Right. This is for those who have been in real estate or thinking about being in a real estate agent. This is not a 9-to-5 job. It's not an office that you go in and because so often we're working around other people's schedule. They want to go. They have to be in the office 9-to-5, and they want to go see a house
afterwards.
Yes,
yes,
from 6 to 9.
You know, that's how I kind of started working out of doing all of the listings. One year I listed 99 homes. That's a lot of homes. And it keeps you really busy running the team and taking care of your listings and stuff. Also sold 16 houses that year. To buyers, that's too much. So you bring in some really good, dependable help, train them well, and then you can have a life. So when I started sending out another agent on listings that absolutely had to be in the evenings, because again, my kids were pretty busy with sports and school activities and stuff. And I wanted to attend their events, so I would allow myself to only be gone 2 evenings a week so that I could be with my family. So then I had somebody else do the listings for most of the evenings. Weekends took me a long time to get out of working all weekend long because people are off work during the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work much during the weekend now, but my agents do. And they are highly trained because I trained them myself, and I'm sure they know what they're doing. And if they don't, they know that they can always contact me.
Well, that's a big part of being a part of a team is you have accountability to one another. And when you're helping people make, for the vast majority of people, this is the biggest money decision they make in their life is the purchase of a home.
Well, and they make that several times during their life, hopefully, and kind of move up, move down, that kind of thing. And it's important that they make the right decision. So the difference in going between an agent and a team, the main difference we're going to talk about when we come back.
We'll be right back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and in Yukon on Route 66.
You like to say Route 66,
I
don't
do.
You?
It's just fine.
I know, right? Well, our smoking hot deal this week is in Norman, and it is in the Highland Village Edition on Marbell Drive. I don't think it's Marble, but it's Marbell Drive. A good size house, 3,100 square feet. It's got 5 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, and it's got a nice treed backyard. It's a pretty house. It's a gable roof for the The front of the house is gabled, so you've got the brick going all the way up on a couple of the gables. So it's a pretty house. It is $474,000. So if you want to see that, just give us a call.
Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com. You can click on search listings. You can take a virtual tour right through there, and or you can click and schedule an appointment for yourself. Saying this to Norman reminded me of something that I think we need to remind our listeners of. We had more hail last night. I was woken up by hail last night.
Yes.
And I live in the north part of Oklahoma City, but there was also, I think, hailed down in Norman.
Right, the south part of the state, up and actually up to about what, Hefner Road or a little bit even north, well, like Memorial, up to Memorial, I think we had hail. So
please give Robbins Roofing a call. Let them come out and get up on your roof and look and see what kind of damage is there. Their number, once again, is 405-728-3700. And as always, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites, and you'll see Robbins Roofing right there at the top.
And, I mean, I trust Larry Robbins implicitly. He's a very good person, but he's an excellent roofer, runs a great business. So. Yeah. He told me, Becky, you got some hail damage enough to file an insurance claim on your office. However, and I didn't even have to ask him to go by there. He just went by there. Of course, he walks on my roofs once a year, everything I own, so that we can stay on top of a repair. And he knows that if it's just a minor repair, he just does it and sends me a bill because he's always reasonable. So even if you think you didn't have hail damage, have him run a roofing report for you, because he's got this. Maybe all roofers have it. I don't know. None have ever shared it with me except Larry. A little thing that says exactly the size of hail that hit at that exact location over the years. So he can tell you whether or not you probably have hail damage or not just by looking at the report.
It's pretty amazing technology that comes out with that. So. All right, we're coming in for a landing on this of team versus solo agent. So what's the advantage to the client of working with a team?
Well, let's first talk about the advantage of working with a solo agent, okay? Because you deal with and talk with one person only. So that person, if they're sharp, they're going to know exactly what's going on with your transaction at any point in the process. So dealing with a solo agent is not a bad thing. It's just, what are you going to do if their kid gets in a car wreck and it happens to be the day you're closing your transaction? Or what are you going to do if that solo agent is giving birth on a day that you want to go see a house and you can't do it because they're like in the hospital, right? And so now I got all that out of my life early on in real estate. Back when there were no cell phones, there were barely pagers. They were not even alphanumeric pagers at the time. And we talked about that. And so people didn't expect you to be quite as available back then. Nowadays, clients expect you to be available all the time. And so when you have different folks on, like in our team, we've got, I'm the broker of the real estate company. I'm also the leader of the Becky Ivins real estate team. And so I oversee everything. We have someone who answers the phone. And we actually have two people that answer the phone, and they take turns doing that so they can get their own work done too. But like Sandra Ivins goes out and processes listings. And what it means to process a listing is get the keys to the property, make sure they work, get the sign in the yard, measure the rooms, write down all the features that need to go on the various different websites, and take pictures and do a 3D virtual tour. So Sandra does that, and that takes hours, by the way. I mean, to process a home takes usually the small homes about 2 hours, medium-sized homes about four and a half hours, and the larger homes can easily take 8 hours. Because she does a lot to process those. So we have a listing manager. She's our listing manager. And then we've got buyer's agents that work specifically with buyers. And Joe and Chris work with buyers. And they're licensed realtors. They have a lot of experience behind them. They love working with buyers and going around showing property. And they're very good at it. And they write offers on property. Then we've got Mark. and Judy. Mark and Judy. Judy does most of the listings. We call her our listing partner. And she is my listing partner because she will go out and do most of the listings. Mark, you kind of do everything. You do some listings. You work with buyers and you help with admin some. So you're
utility player.
There you go. Yeah. Nick Collison of the Thunder, right?
That's it. Call me in, coach.
Yeah. So that's handy. Now we have three people on our admin. That is Sandra, who does the listings. And then we have Karen, who is a transaction coordinator. She manages the transactions from the time the offer is written until closing. She takes care of all the details. She's sitting at her desk, looking at her computer, and able to keep on top of everything.
Yeah. That to me is a huge part, like in what I do, because when I'm working with a client and we get them under contract, usually, I mean, they're working one-on-one with me. We get them under contract. Then I am able to say, at this point in time, if you need help, I'm always available. But also, we have a transaction manager who has the contract in front of them all the time.
Right.
You can always contact the office.
And then my mainstay is Julie. Julie has been with me since 1999. And she does just about everything. Now, she got her real estate license because she was doing things that required a real estate license. And then about 3 years ago, I chose not to up her license because she no longer really does anything to do with selling of real estate or showing or anything like that. What she does is our projects. We do downsizing seminars. Mm-hmm. We have a shred event once a year where we have folks that, I mean, our team goes and offers free shredding. Then, and she takes care of the advertising and stuff for that. We do a lot of volunteer work. Five or six times a year, we go to the Toby Keith Foundation and we provide dinner for the folks there, the patients of cancer, pediatrics. So, I mean, we do a lot, and then I've got a new executive assistant that is helping me personally quite a lot.
And that's the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and we thank you, listener, for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
All of your wishes come true.